Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, the fifth chapter, beginning with the first verse, and our homily this morning will focus primarily on the second portion of the text. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. During military training to become a Navy SEAL, the young men who are striving to do that are put through some pretty awful conditions. One of them is a 50-meter swim underwater, holding their breath that whole time, obviously. You can find videos of this. It is such a dangerous thing that they actually have to have paramedics in the pool in scuba diving gear to possibly help and resuscitate them. And they are given signs to watch for in the eyes and in the skin color of these men to see if they are about to pass out underwater. Now, if you were to walk in on that exercise and watch it happening and not know what was going on and see the man giving the orders up at the top, you may think that this is actually torture, but in reality, it is actually the opposite. What may appear to be torture is designed to make these men stronger and actually designed to help save their lives and the lives of others. Every aspect of their training is actually for their benefit. From God's perspective, the trouble that we as His children have to go through in this life is all designed with the intent of keeping us as His children on the path to life in heaven. And even the problems and difficulties that may perplex us and frustrate us the most are shaped and designed by God in order to guide His children on the path to everlasting life in heaven. The author of the Hebrews wrote it this way: "The Lord disciplines those whom He loves. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness." I bet when you were 8, 9, or 10 years old, there was probably a point in your life where we could have found you maybe sitting on your bed pouting because you were now being disciplined by your parents. And maybe at that moment in your life, it would have been tough to convince you that they even cared about you, certainly loved you. And yet, as you got older and became an adult, and if you haven't reached this stage yet, I hope you will, you'll look back and realize that all of that was actually designed and planned by your parents to benefit you for your good. God knows that the smoother, the easier that our life may be in this world, the more tempted we may be to have this be our heaven and to lose our focus on where we're actually going with our faith. Each of the items that St. Paul addresses in our text that kind of have this staircase in ascending order, they each produce kind of a higher purpose. There's an advantageous reason for them. Tribulation, he says, produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope. And for that reason, we are not simply instructed by God to endure the tribulations and trials that we go through in life. He says, we are to glory in them. That's different, isn't it? To even glory in them. Now, that may be pretty hard for us to understand right now in this world. But certainly for sure in the life that is to come, we will look back and view the earthly trials that we had to endure with an eternal clarity and a heavenly perspective from God that will make us glory in them. God would have us also understand that the trials that we do have to endure in this life will, as our hymn says, have an end. great English preacher by the name of Charles Spurgeon said this regarding Christians: there are no immortal sorrows for immortal souls. This hope that we have in Christ, St. Paul teaches us, is a hope that will not disappoint us. Hope is an interesting word, isn't it? We all have different hopes and dreams for our lives. But a lot of times the hopes that we have no control over. Or there might be other things that take place in the events in our lives in the future that might alter our hopes and dreams and our plans. I have a good friend that studied to be a dentist and passed dental school and did well and went off and started a career. But just like that, in a little eye surgery, his whole life changed. And he's now building houses. The hopes that we have for our lives and for our futures, they're great and they're wonderful, but we don't have any control over what's going to happen. And for that reason, quite often when we look back, we get pretty disappointed. They let us down. The things that we dream about and hope for sometimes just don't pan out the way we want. And we can easily be let down. But the hope Paul is talking about is one that's grounded not in some flimsy dream. It's grounded in the established work of Christ, in his death and resurrection. And that hope, he says, will not disappoint us, even if our trust in it is weak. Imagine for a moment a dad who loves his kids, and he tells them that he's going to build them a playhouse, and he goes off into the woods, and he builds this playhouse up in the woods, gets the plans drawn up and works hard on it and has this beautiful little playhouse designed for them. But while he's working on it, the children have not yet seen it. And night after night, as he comes back and tells them about how exciting it's going to be, the children, and as they go to bed at night, talk to each other. And because they haven't seen it yet, they start wondering and doubting whether it even exists. The fact that they may doubt it doesn't make the playhouse disappear. The object of their hope is not dependent upon the strength of their hope. Whether you have a firm and confident conviction that there is a heaven waiting for you because of what your Savior has done, or whether you're just merely hanging on to that with a bare little weak hope, it doesn't change the reality that it's there and that it's done. The heavenly object of your hope is not dependent upon the strength of your personal hope in your heart. This college is about a lot of stuff. It's about a lot of things that deal with life. But at its core and at its essence, it's about heaven. Your life as a Christian has a lot of stuff in it and a lot of things you can do. But at its core, it should be about heaven. The parade of Christendom into which your Savior has placed you through the waters of baptism, that procession and parade of the saints that he has placed you in, winds its way through various streets. And way up at the front end of that procession and parade are the saints and martyrs who have already entered glory. And right now, in the blocks before you as you walk in that procession and parade, the streets that you go on may be difficult and tough and full of trials. But know this, that the ultimate destination of that procession that you have been blessed to be a part of is the gates of paradise. Amen. Please rise. And let us pray. Lord God, give me enough trouble in my life that I may cling to Christ, stay in the procession of his faithful, and finally reach heaven. Amen.